I would be remiss if I didn't say I love you, I appreciate you, and thank you for being here. Probably wouldn't expect a person that's a member of the Church of Christ to preach on healing. Guess what? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. You feel sick this morning? Some of us do. Okay? Do you feel sick every day? Sick and tired? Okay? Just a question. How does Jesus want you to feel? Does he want you to feel healed? We're going to look at passages in God's Holy Word this morning that talks about being healed. Rather be healed. Would you rather be healed than win the lottery? Would you rather be healed than find your soulmate? Would you rather be healed than have the best boss in the world? Would you rather be healed than find happiness? Most people would say, we'd struggle with those questions. But as we look at these passages this morning in God's Holy Word to talk about being healed, physically and spiritually, folks, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, and he came to heal us. And love heals. You know, we look at this passage that was read this morning, our lesson text. But rather be healed. And so I ask us this morning, how do we become healed? I can tell you what God's Holy Word says. I can tell you, how do you be healed? By following Jesus. It's that simple. Lesson's yours. But if we look, folks, at the passages that we have up here on the screen, rather be healed. I want to be healed in my life and my relationships because I want to be like Jesus. Now, did Jesus have relationships that weren't quite like you'd like them? He had people hated. He had people want to murder him. People did murder him. But what he came to be able to try and teach us is that's not the correct attitude. That's not the spirit of love. That's not the spirit of God. In order to rather be healed, we need to pursue peace with all people. You know what? BC and I, it's easy to be peaceful with him because I just tell him to repent. He says, okay, brother. But people in the world, that's tough with, isn't it? You say repent to somebody, and they think, whoa, who are you? Obviously, we need to be cautious about that. What do you think about that, folks? But to pursue peace with all people and holiness, pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Not an option. Not an option. But when I make it an option, I can be angry. I can have hatred in my heart. I can sin a little bit and get away with it. That's what Satan does. He sins because he thinks he can get away with it. He doesn't want to be at peace with anybody because he thinks he can get away with it. Not so with God, folks. Rather be healed. Have the power of God work in your life. How many of us want the power of God to work in our lives? All of us do. One of the reasons we're here, we believe in it. We've seen it work in our lives. Folks, the time that the peace of God has not worked in my life is times when I haven't been at peace with all people. When I want my way and I don't want a way of holiness. How many times do you think during the holiday season, when you gather together with families, there's going to be some tension?
Almost all the people I gather with are going to be believers, disciples of Christ, children of the Most High God. And there'll still be things said, things done, that will create tension. Good Christian people. How can that be? That'll be an opportunity for us to focus, to rather be healed, to pursue peace with all people, to pursue holiness, to be like Jesus, above and beyond all the other things in our lives. I want Don to be like Jesus. I don't want Don to be like Don, because Don makes mistakes. And you continue with this lesson, and this it says, why do you want to be at peace, and why do you want to be at hope? Well, you want to see God. You want to make it to heaven. You don't want to fall short of the grace of God. What happens when you start losing sight of heaven and you stop being thankful for the grace of God? Oh, bitterness creeps up. And then you start blaming somebody for your sins and for your lack of success of being holy and being at peace. Satan does that also. Not so with Jesus. Then it talks about what happens once you get a little bitterness. It's a root, just a little root of bitterness. Just a little bit. It's okay. I don't like that neighbor. I don't like what he drives. Gets up early. His pipes on his motorcycle are loud. His kids ride dirt bikes all day long. His dog barks. Their dogs bark. A little root of bitterness. A little root of bitterness. Driving down the highway in the interstate, just a little root of bitterness. You want to practice following Jesus? Drive down the interstate. Say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. No, you're not more important than me, but apparently you're more urgent. Whatever you think you're doing today is more important than what I got to do. I see it every day, folks. And I just pray and plead that they make it their safety. I start praying for those people that frost me. We use a Christmas term, frost me. Okay? Raise an ire. Maybe you want to start a little root of bitterness. Get behind me, Satan. I'm working on being at peace with all people. I'm working on being whole. That's my goal. That's our goal as following Jesus. I want to feel healed. I thought about that walking in this morning, you know, because that's one of my questions this morning. Do you feel sick? Do you feel healed? Obviously, we go through physical ailments, folks. But spiritually wise, are you happy with where you're at? Do you feel free from sin? Is the whole world in front of you? Is today the next day for the rest of your life? Or is it just another day? I plead with us. I plead with us to feel healed. The power of God working in our lives. The promises of Jesus and of God guiding our paths and our wills and our minds. Not just bringing us up and propping us up like a snowman standing there. Children of the Most High God. And it is written in Psalms 41, I said, the writer says, Lord, be most merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Psalms 103, who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Speaking of God, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 53 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." By his stripes we are healed. Kelly and I watched Passion of Christ for the first time ever last night. I'd stuck it away and somebody gave it to me for Christmas many years ago. And I said, I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch that. And when I studied for this lesson this week and Saturday morning, I said, you know what? I need to watch that. And there's some, obviously, artistic liberty and some things in there. But the reality of how precious Jesus' love and commitment to saving us from our sins was by watching that. By his stripes we were healed. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is believable. I got to believe it. I shouldn't say unbelievable. It is believable that by his stripes we are healed. And it's amazing what he's done for us. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to go preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. I just didn't, you know, stall-fed calves. You know what? They had that way back then, didn't they? Malachi. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for Jesus in my life. I'm so thankful that he's healed my broken heart. I'm so thankful he's healed me from backsliding. I'm so thankful that he's covered me and wrapped me in his arms and said, I love you no matter what, don't give up. I will heal you from whatever you've done, whatever you've been. Folks, if we were to take time with our congregation to sit down and recognize how many times we've been brokenhearted, right, wrong, or indifferent, folks, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was a misconception or a misunderstanding or it was malicious viciousness. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants us to be a healed people, an uplifted people. Not downtrodden. Saw the Statue of Liberty a few weekends ago. You know, give me your huddled masses. Give me your weary and downtrodden. It's almost like words Jesus would say. And it is written in Matthew, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and served them. When evening had come, They brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So he got in a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put aside outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. Then Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind man came in, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He cast out demons by the ruler of demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "Truly, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord that the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Folks, let me ask this morning. Are we wearied and scattered? Or do we have a shepherd that we're following? Do we listen to his voice? Do we know who he is? Do we, like him, have compassion and recognize that there is a harvest that needs to take place and that he needs laborers? There are people that need healed, folks, in this world. And they can't be healed without Jesus. And they're not going to know about Jesus without us telling them. Now, I know you didn't know this, but I'm going to tell you that you're all doctors today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Because you have the power of Jesus to be able to help people and tell them about Jesus and let Jesus heal them. Now, if you don't want to be a doctor and you just want to be a nurse, just want to be, I don't know, that's probably not a good term. Okay? Because to me, I spend more time with the nurse when I go to the hospital than I do with the doctor. It doesn't matter, folks, how you want to categorize it, but pointing people, we have a joy to share Jesus. We have a joy to help other people be healed. How many of us have had to try to talk somebody into going to the doctor in our lives? How many of us didn't want to go? I'm not going to go. You know what I did? I have a bad habit when I get sick, is waiting and waiting, and I'm already starting to feel a little better by the time I go to the doctor. And sometimes by the time you get in to see the doctor, okay, you don't look that sick to me. Well, and I could have got into you 3 weeks ago when I was calling, you know. I'm just jesting a little bit, but the neat thing about Jesus is His power is there instantaneously to forgive us for sins. His healing happens when we come to Him and we humble our hearts. When's the last time you told Jesus you needed Him? I just thought about that myself. When's the last time did I ask Jesus and say, I need you, I need you, I need you? Well, before I got up here and spoke this morning was my last time, because I need Him every time I get up here to share God's word. Now when He had departed from there, He went to their synagogues. Then He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And He asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They might accuse Him. Obviously, Jesus, folks, we're reading passages where Jesus healed people. That's the whole purpose. Jesus came to heal people. Jesus needs our help to heal people, to put them in contact with Jesus. How many of you have recommended a doctor before? How many of you never recommend some doctors again? How do you feel about Jesus? Has He really healed your heart? Do you feel like He's removed the sin from your life? Do you have confidence that you are going to heaven? You are a child of the Most High God. And if you don't know, I ask, have you shared Jesus? Have you shared the good doctor? Have you shared the healing power? Is sin ugly enough in your life, like a cancer, that you want to share the good doctor, Jesus, with those people? But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. Then one was brought to Him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and He healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Folks, this isn't a repeat verse of the same thing we just read. He continually, everywhere He went, helped people. He healed people everywhere He went. Everywhere we go, people are needing Jesus. The only way they're going to know Jesus is if we share Him. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there, and great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Him, kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, For he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls in the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except for by prayer and fasting. I draw great courage and love and admiration for people that struggle with children that have something similar to this. As I was reading this passage of scripture, I think of my son Lucas. And I think if he had epilepsy and severe epilepsy and needed continually being taken care of. And I admire people that don't give up and love those people and those children and their loved ones. But he came down to Jesus, and only Jesus could take care of him. Jesus said, except by prayer and fasting, folks. I asked this morning, do you feel healed in your life? I asked this morning, from this passage of scripture, when's the last time that you prayed and fasted about something? When was something most important to you that you didn't have to sit down and eat something? Typically, the most important time that we fast in our lives is when something emotional happens. Divorce, marriage, good things, bad things, and death. We don't feel like eating. What about sin, folks? Is sin horrendous enough in your life? Not your sin necessarily, but sin period, that you fast for somebody. Or you fast for something you're struggling with. You're emotionally attached that you want God's help. You need to be healed. Or someone else needs to be healed, folks. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the whole world needs to be healed. That's why Jesus came. Jesus healed those people by the Sea of Galilee. Great multitudes followed him, and they were healed there. In closing this morning, do you feel healed? Or do you feel sick? Obviously, we got colds and flu and sniffles. But what about your heart? Is your heart right with God? Do you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you living at peace with all people? Would you rather be healed or would you rather just stay sick? I don't want to be at peace. I don't want to be holy, is what you're saying if you say I don't want to be healed. If I don't want to remove sin from my life. Jesus went in the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall not be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna, to the son of David, they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfect praise?'" And he left them and went out in the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. And in closing this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, Jesus said, and he's reiterating what was written in Isaiah, "For their hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Have you turned to Jesus that he may heal you? Do you feel hungry sometimes, blind, lame, crippled, demon-possessed? Blood issues arise from the dead. Dead arise in Jesus' presence. Sin. Folks, so that I should heal them. Jesus is truly the Son of God, the way, the life, and the truth. Do you feel healed or sick this morning? And if you feel sick, go to Jesus. I plead with you, we plead with each other, to continue to return to Jesus, to be healed. The blind guy said this, "The one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." Told the Pharisees, folks. Do you tell people around you, "One thing I do know, I was lost and now I'm saved"? Salvation has been brought down. Jesus said, "I came so you may see, so you may be healed." Our question this morning, folks, in the lesson is, would you rather be healed by Jesus than anything else in the world? If you're not healed by Jesus, we offer that invitation to make it right as we stand and sing a selected song this morning.